podcast was a mess.
Welcome back to the Wildlife Her podcast. It's been a little while since we've recorded, for those who've been listening regularly. So we're trying to get back into it again. Things have been busy with work and families and just life in general. I'm sure you all understand. So Jess and I are going to try and get back in the game a little bit, talk about a few things that have been on our minds, and with hunting season getting ready to start.
Mm-hmm. And like you've mentioned, some people talking on the forums, some interesting conversations that we'll bring up today. Hopefully, you know, we're both in a mood, as usual, ready to rant, so be prepared.
It's been a while since we've been able to get it out.
Hopefully it'll stir some people into action or into education of fellow hunters.
Yeah. I think dove season in Georgia's already started, and a lot of states already have, so some upland hunting in squirrel. The northern states, they've been out on the prairies already.
Yep.
So we're getting ready. Won't be till mid-November for us for quail season. But hunting in general, a lot of what we're going to talk about today will apply to all hunting in general. It's just some ethics, some good behavior people need to use.
Yes, please.
Yes. With dove hunting, the one thing that came into mind right away was picking up your trash.
Oh,
my
goodness.
Biggest pet peeve in all hunting is people who won't police their shells, their water bottles and trash and just whatever all around the dove fields. And we have days where we just get out with groups and actually
instead of doing good conservation work somewhere, we are sitting there picking up trash for hours, sometimes days after these events on public lands.
Bags and bags.
It's embarrassing.
Bags.
Yeah, we should dig out some of our photos.
Yeah, we need to put those on for when we did the cleanup day with the group. Anytime I'm walking, and I know a lot of other hunters do as well, if I see trash, you know, I pick it up, I stick it in my pockets.
We know we're not getting enough birds to fill our bags.
There's plenty of space. I'll bring all the trash in there. But a lot of folks are really good at, you know, bringing out more than, you know, what they took in, and, you know, balloons and stuff that just comes in randomly. But the shotgun shells. Oh, you know, I heard old wives tale or whatever you want to call it, that if you find a balloon and pick it up, then you're going to have good luck on your hunt. So I usually try to do that. I need all the luck I can get some days. So trashed. It makes hunters look bad, and we don't need one more thing to make non-hunting public think poorly of hunters.
That's right.
And hunters aren't the only ones who leave their trash behind, but let's not be the ones.
It's just time that is spent doing something senseless. Like when people feel like they want to joyride and rip up the roads, then have to spend tractor time in the roads instead of on fields and brood fields and getting those hunting opportunities improved. You know, just stuff that isn't necessary. And this needs to be a team effort. And yes, we understand you're putting your hard-earned money into hunting licenses, into your gear, and all that. And let's take it one step further and share the responsibility of taking care of it. 'Cause
if you want to continue hunting, we got to take care of it.
That's right.
And especially if it's a VPA, a private land lease, if you're leaving all your trash behind, they're not going to let you come back. But, you know, the public lands, we all own them. Treat it like you would, you know, your own place. Hopefully you're not leaving trash around.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, some of this is probably preaching to the choir. I think most of people that are listening to this are probably doing the right thing. But the fact is that I think sometimes I take it for granted things that I've just do or my friends that I hunt with do that maybe, you know, we need to nicely point out to other people in our community, you know, to say, hey, we found a lot of trash today. That might be something that you need to post on your local forum or something. Say, just a reminder to y'all, pick up your shells. Because when you're in the heat of it and you're shooting and you might not think of your shells.
Right.
You know,
Well, and some, there's going to be a shell or two that gets further away that you're going to lose.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
I'm not saying that every single shell has to be picked up. You're doing bad if you miss one. But I know we hunted, I had hunted for the first time in the dove field in probably 12 years this past opening day. And, you're sitting there shooting, and the birds start coming in hot and heavy, and you're just, humping hard to reload. And then I stop when the downtime, I have to pick up birds, come back, and I pick up shells. And before I leave, I kind of walk around and look and make sure my shells. And this was on family land, so I definitely wasn't going to leave anything behind. But just even on public land, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
But
Oh, and the
there's
kids,
times.
I
Pick them
mean, if
up.
you've got kids out there,
Yeah, they can pick them
go
up.
pick them up.
Yeah.
They have those fun little magnet things,
Yeah.
that the kids have a lot of fun picking up
Yeah.
shells with.
Yep. So do that. Just pick up all your trash. We pick up water bottles and chip bags and everything else, but we won't just beat on that the whole time. But that is my major pet peeve. And it all comes down to just showing respect for the land and, for other hunters. So you already mentioned people being crazy on roads. That's another thing that we had, was drive only on existing roads. Don't go creating path through the middle of a field or down fire breaks. It's not vehicle access. You can get out and walk. It's not going to hurt you. And you're just like, again, you're causing
Well,
problems.
and some of them aren't vehicle access for very good reason. I mean, how many people have we had to dig out? And it's like, dude, we told you there's a sign not to drive down here, but people don't want to see gates everywhere either.
No.
So trust the sign. Like sometimes it's literally protecting you from dumping your truck into a big hole.
Yeah. Oh,
You know
there's
all
one
about those
management
holes.
area. Gosh, that one management area. And, down here in Southwest Georgia, we have karst topography. So we're open to sinkholes.
Oh, yeah.
And when we were doing some trapping, driving through a field that we had driven on multiple times in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, truck goes in a hole that
Wee.
opens up on us. So
Yep.
that, yeah, you don't want to be doing that. And luckily, it was a small hole. It just ate the front tire. But, it could be something major. There's some very large sinkholes in some of these fields that we know where they're at. But you go bebopping through head high vegetation in your pickup truck and you're not going to see it. And it could be ugly.
Yeah.
But just, messing up the land, there's no reason. I see certain WMAs where people just tear off across an open area
Yeah,
because they're
and I
too lazy.
mean, especially during nesting season, we were just talking about the weird places we're finding nests. Yeah, ideally you're looking at something, oh, there shouldn't be anything nesting in there. But maybe something's not quite right somewhere else, and they're just huddled up in there, or they were just forced out. Like, just stay off of it.
Yeah.
It's cut off for a reason. There might be rare plants in there.
Right.
You never know. Just observe the signs.
Yeah. Be courteous again. And be courteous to non-hunters as well. We talked again about people, already having a bad view of hunters, or some people having a bad view of hunters. So if you're out there and there are non-hunters, bird watchers, whatever, on the way, some of them don't think. They're not paying attention to the fact that there's hunting going on.
That's right.
I know during COVID it was a big issue for us because everybody was out in the woods trying to get out of the house. And during quail season, we would be on a quota hunt or the one day open for a certain area and in the woods with our dogs. And all of a sudden, here comes a family with their dogs off leash walking, down the road right in front of where we're
In
hunting.
muted colors, no
Yes,
orange. Yep.
yes. And the kids and the dogs were running there. Just like, if Covey had flushed, we had not seen you. You could have been pelling. They'd have been mad. But be aware of non-hunters who just, they don't understand. They're not paying attention. But don't be ugly to them.
Yeah, and also, the other thing too is don't think they don't want to see what you shot. So if you've got a couple birds in your pocket, ask, hey, would you like to see one? Because chances are they've never seen a bird that up close,
Yeah.
and then they get really interested in it, and it's a chance to talk about what we're doing, why we do it, why we harvest, what we're going to do with the bird, and I don't know, it's a good opportunity for a little bit of outreach
Yeah.
and getting us on more even ground together.
Yeah. I don't show them the bloody mangled animal, but
Right.
They don't want to see that. And that's the thing with photos too, is being cautious when you're, or considerate when you're taking your photos. You know, the tongue hanging out of the deer with, you know, blood everywhere. Birds who are just video, people who are videoing and they're showing birds who are still alive, and when the dog brings back, that happens a lot. But in the video, when you're showing this to something that's going to be available to public, that doesn't look well to them when you're sitting here showing off this bird that's still alive.
Right.
Dispatch the bird and don't have the live bird on the
Yeah.
camera. To me, that's
'Cause
bad.
and they don't, you know, a lot of people don't understand the process that we do have a way to humanely dispatch that bird if
Right.
it, you know, has been injured and was brought back to us injured.
Right.
But that's the part they don't see. So no telling what they're imagining
Oh,
is
gosh.
happening. So yeah, just be
They're,
smart.
yep.
And, you know, the other thing too, you know, the tradition of, you know, the kids' first deer, you
Yep, blood in
know.
their faces. Don't put
I
it
well, I just make sure that I've blocked out people on my friends' page or just goes to
Facebook.
my family page so they
Those, you know, who are
some
more
people.
sensitive about it.
That's right, because I mean, I think I know I've been guilty of just being proud of the moment, very excited to
Right.
share it. I want people to see that, hey, we're harvesting our own food, our kids are
Right.
stoked. You know, I mean, nothing makes a kid more proud, at least in my house, of when we're cooking deer, it's on the table. He's like, oh, is this the one that I got?
Yep, this is my dear.
Yeah, like we're eating what I provided.
That's
You know,
right.
it's a point of pride, but there are many people on my friends list that don't share that
No.
thought. And when they saw the picture of Calvin getting his first deer, they were just like, what in the world? And it was a teaching moment for all of
Yeah.
us.
But take the pictures, enjoy it, because
Oh,
memories
yeah.
view, but you don't have to post all of them and
Yeah.
or be selective about who you post them with. And there's too many negative connotations with hunting with certain people, and we don't want to expand their negative thoughts. And
Yeah, and I know right now people are probably like, well, it's my thing. They don't have to be friends with me and blah, blah, blah. But it is our responsibility, like it or not, to keep these traditions and our rights to do this going. And it is on us to protect that. Whether we think we should have to or not is not even up for debate. The point is that that's the world we're in, and we need to be cognizant of it. And that we are super fortunate to be in an area and a geography that we can take these things for granted. And it's just part of what we do. But there's many places in our country that it's not,
Yeah, they don't
and
understand it.
they're trying to shut it down. So if we're not more aware and using these opportunities as teaching opportunities, bringing other people out hunting,
We're outnumbered,
hunt,
so
yeah,
we
for
got to be
sure,
careful.
especially us bird hunters.
Yeah. And to me, you know, everybody's a little bit different on what they think, you know, or appropriate photos or whatever. But for me, it's always being respectful to the animal.
Yep, 100%.
I love hunting and harvesting an animal, but I'm going to be respectful to that animal that I've harvested. And one thing to me that I don't like to see from a bird hunter standpoint is tailgate pictures.
Oh, that drives me nuts.
I don't like all the birds spread across the tailgate. I know it's an easy way to show what you've harvested and put the dogs up there, but to me, that's more of a showing off of, you know, look at all I killed,
Yeah.
instead of this is a great
I want
hunt.
to see my friends. Like, I don't like if you go out west and I want to see all the birds you got. Like, that is awesome. And I
Oh yeah,
want
and I want to
to share that
celebrate
with
that I got
you.
a limit or whatever,
Yeah,
but
but other people don't understand
right.
that
There's a different
concept.
way to me to do it. You know, you can have your birds, take pictures with the dogs, you know, but it's the more of the experience of the hunt than
Well,
the
it looks
what I sh
excessive
yeah.
and people don't understand bag limits and what we're showing, and that we hopefully maintained our legal limit
Yep.
in that. And a lot of people will go straight to like thinking about like, oh, passenger pigeon or whatever, you know, was hunted, and
Well, and they also hear, you
you
know,
got to be
the
careful.
declining species. You know, a lot of our quail are in decline, and then you're seeing someone who's got a tailgate full of birds. That aggravates me, because I think there's some species where the limits are way too high,
Agreed.
and people aren't really, the
Which is one of
agencies
our topics for today,
aren't
yeah.
paying attention. But, you know, just because you can doesn't mean
Doesn't
you
mean you
should.
should. You know, and you know, my dad, I mean, every season comes around, he starts seeing us, you know, you and I get the guns together, go hunting, and every year he asks me the same question. I don't understand how you go out and shoot quail when at the same time you're trying to save them. You know, my own dad, I mean, he's not a hunter, but, you know, how many years have we been at this now? And it's just every year I'm asked. So it's, you know.
Yeah. So those are some of the kind of, I guess, main pet peeves. They're just kind of general stuff.
That's just our unorganized rant.
Oh, gosh, I tell you. So we had things kind of, we had written an article that we had hoped to get out several years ago that never got into magazines or whatever. But we kind of broke things, ethical hunting, down into a couple of categories, kind of our general, which we've been touching on already, private and public lands and some other things. So we've kind of walked through some of these. We've gone through several already. But in the general, I guess, category, one of the things we talked about was refraining from confrontational behavior. That's something that on dove fields seems to happen a lot. And
I can't even with a public
dove hunt. I will not go on a public dove hunt.
No.
Unless it was a quota where it's limited. And even then, I'm not 100% sure.
That's why my boys haven't been on a dove hunt yet. Because obviously I have friends, you know, hunting their private land. And we don't go, but... I'm just kidding.
Hey, I've been in 12 years.
I don't want their first experience to be, what we have available around here.
So, you know, I hear so many people, and every year, somebody's shooting at low-flying birds, they get peppered, or they accidentally, if you're shooting in a narrow field, even if you're shooting up in the air, there's going to be pellets that rain down.
Wear a good hat.
People have been drinking and carrying on, and they get mad. Or because somebody's sky busting or whatever, they get mad. And tempers flare because it's usually hot on the opening day of dove season. That's why by 9 o'clock we were done. But, yeah, the fights and the number of times.
What's with the radios?
blaring music.
Yeah,
I don't like it on the golf course. I sure don't want it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But, yeah, just don't. Be confrontational with people. There's no reason in that. I mean, if we see people in the deer woods, turkey woods, whatever, you know, you're in my spot, if you're on public land, it's not your spot. Yes, would you like to hunt it? But if you got beat there,
tough.
Yeah. Now, if somebody comes in on you, that's they're bad. They shouldn't be doing that. But there are people who we've had the same thing. People walk in on top of you and they see you there. I mean, you're wearing bright orange.
Oh, yeah.
And they still come in anyway, but you still don't have to be the confrontational and ask them, say, hey, do you mind? We're going this way.
Oh, I know. Quota deer hunt. I had been out there.
Jeez.
Now, this is kind of funny because they had came right up on me and, you know, he was like, well, you're not going to shoot anything anyways. And little did he know, I had a sleeping 2-year-old in that thing with me, and he wasn't going to shoot anything either.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So there's try not to go. Sometimes people are going to come in and be confrontational to you, and that's just when you either have to back out or call the game warden or law or whatever you have to do. It's just try not to.
My thing is, on these hunts, is there's a lot of kids out there. Please, please, yield to the kids.
I know.
Like, especially on a dove hunt, let them shoot. Let them get the excitement of it, because we need to be recruiting hunters, you know?
Have a positive experience with stuff, you know, not seeing fights and fusses and somebody hogging everything, and they don't ever want to come back.
Yeah.
That'll be kids. So talking about hunting spots, another major pet peeve is don't share information about hunting spots, especially if it's something someone else has taken you to.
Mm-hmm.
If someone takes you deer hunting, turkey hunting, dove, whatever, if they've taken you and shown you the spot that they enjoy hunting, do not tell other people. Do not post it on social media.
No hot spotting.
Oh my gosh, people don't realize it. You know, if they've never done it before, they don't realize how much effort it takes to find a good spot, no matter what species you're looking for, and how limited hunting spots are.
Mm-hmm.
And one day we'll get into the R3 stuff, but that's one reason R3 is so hard. It's because, especially here in the South.
Especially in the quail world. Yep.
Where we're limited on public land.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it so many times where somebody posts something on social media. Oh yeah, we went to so-and-so WMA today and look at what all we shot. And then the next week there's 50 people
just
there.
Got hammered. Yep.
So just, they spent time scouting locations. They were nice enough to share it with you. Don't ruin it because you're never going to get another invite.
Yeah. You know, and the same thing goes for, you know, if you hit up the public lands biologists and they give you some information or write you a little map, like, don't go putting that on the forum. You know, they were trying to be nice to you and help you out because you were putting forward the effort to do a little bit of homework.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing I think people forget is that you need to do your homework, especially on some of these public lands, depending on what you're hunting.
Right.
You don't just go out that morning and
walk right to a spot and there you are.
I mean, some people do.
Well, if you've done it for a while, then you know where to go. But part of the joy of it is that you've put in the time and the boot leather and you've found it and you've been successful on your own or with your dog or whatever. And so why do you want to just walk into a certain spot, sit down, shoot something, and or, you know, it's just the experience is not the same.
I don't know. When I get drawn for a quota on a deer, if someone could hold my hand and just put me in front of that thing.
Well, deer hunting is a little bit
that would really be appreciated.
I mean, you definitely want to see something. But that skin, you're reaching out, you're kind of getting some information, or you're doing a little bit of scouting ahead of time. And you know, not saying that you can't ask questions, but don't share it with everybody in the world when somebody's nice enough to help you out. That's kind of the general ones we had. So some private land things. I know a lot of people don't get to hunt private land, but when you do, some of these are VPAs or other private
voluntary
land leases.
Public access.
Right. So ask permission before hunting on private land if it's not an open area. People have put a lot of work into their private lands, and maybe they have a hunt going on and they go roaming into it. You know, that just there's going to be confrontations. It's just you wouldn't want somebody doing that to you. So ask permission before going on private properties. Onyx and other mapping things have made it a whole lot easier to not cross those boundaries now if you pay attention. Yep. Return gates the way they were. If it was open, leave it. If it was closed, close it back. There's a reason for gates. Out west, that's a big thing. You'll see as you go through those BLM lands where they're grazing cows. I've seen a gazillion different types of gate closures.
So
you come up and you're trying to figure out how in the heck do I open this thing? And
you got to be smarter than the gate.
Yeah. And then you got to remember, okay, now how do I put this all back? But you'll go through 50 gates. And so, but if they're open, you leave them open. If they're closed, you got to close them back because there's people's cows. That's their livelihood, or horses or whatever it may be. Again, we already talked about the trash, and that definitely applies to public land. I mean, private and public land. So on public land, we touched on this a little bit. Just because you put a little piece of paper, a sign, or a notice on a trail does not mean that you have the exclusive right to that area.
Mm-hmm.
I see this during deer season.
Oh, yeah.
On quota hunts. What kills me is, like, we will be out on there's usually a quail quota or something right before some of these deer quotas, and they'll be scouting, you know, the week before, 4 or 5 days, they're already camping before the hunt opens, and they're driving up and down the roads. And any little trail, they're putting flagging tape, and they're writing dates on the flagging tape and saying, this date, there's three hunters. But the same hunters will put flagging tape up
everywhere.
On five different, 10, 20 places. It's like, you're not hunting all these places. You can't go and sit there for a little while and decide, oh, I don't like it, so now I'm going to go do this one.
Eco trash, too.
And they leave it behind. So after every hunt, there's 50 flags with different dates on them. It's not your spot. If you get there first, good. If you don't...
Yeah, I don't care if people are scouting, you know, and want to leave a little flag up.
Yeah, to let them know where they were.
Especially because you're coming in early in the morning and you don't want to get lost. Great. There's biodegradable options for it if you don't...
When
if you know you're not going to remember to take it down.
All right.
But, again, the shells. How many days do we spend after a hunt taking dang flags out of trees?
One of the technicians, I know, bright eyes are his pet peeve. People put all their bright eyes coming in, which, you know, especially in some of these woods, you need them coming in and out. but they don't pick them back up. So there's like, if you've gone in an area, you don't realize that you've flagged your way in, and all of a sudden there's bright eyes all over everywhere. And you're like, well, which one did I put up?
Well, and it's kind of unnerving too when you go out and you haven't been out there for a while and you're looking for your markers for whatever, survey spot you're stuck with that year. Yeah.
Yeah, there's trash everywhere, and so every tree's got little bright eyes on it. So, and we already talk about, hanging a tree stand or setting a blind up doesn't entitle you to exclusive rights to that area. If I went into an area and there was already a stand or a blind there, then I would be courteous enough to move on to another area.
But not everybody is.
Not everybody is. And technically, if you're not there, they really kind of have the right to do it,
Yep, and
even if
you're
it's not.
hanging stuff and leaving it out there at your own risk,
Right.
unfortunately.
But they're a hazard when they're burning and doing work. So,
Exactly.
I've seen a lot of burned up stands in the woods where people have left them behind. And it's trash in the woods. But having a stand or a blind there does not mean, that you have exclusive rights. But if you walk in on someone, be courteous, move on to another area. Baiting is illegal on all public lands. I know that in Georgia, baiting for deer is legal across the whole state now, except on public land. So don't be putting bait out on public land. Understand that hunting dogs sometimes get lost. If you run across a lost dog, help them get home. A lot of times there's going to be a number. Often that owner's still around, that the dog just got ahead of them, or the GPS collar died or something, and so they're probably still in the area looking for the dog. I mean, as a dog owner, you panic if you can't find your dog.
Oh, yeah.
All these dogs are family too, so they want to know. If you can't get a hold of someone, take it to a veterinarian and let them see if they're chipped, or they can put out the word for it. But don't. Some of the deer hunters I kind of worry about. We won't hunt a lot of areas if deer season's open, if it's gun season, because I just don't want anybody getting mad because our dogs, even though we have the right to be there as well, I'm not going to run my dogs through the woods because I don't want somebody shooting at my dogs, because some people are just jerks.
Well, yeah, or they're assuming,
Yeah,
it's
they're
a
assuming
wild dog or someone's
we're
screwing up their
chasing deer
hunt.
or whatever.
Yep.
But again, they do sometimes get lost. I see some of these forums sometimes where the pet forums where people have found these dogs, and oh, they're just abused and they
They're
don't
so
deserve to have their dog back
skinny.
because he's so skinny. Most hunting dogs are skinny, especially if they've been
They're
running and
athletes.
working. And if he got lost and he's been running for a day or two, he's gonna be really thin. Don't assume that somebody doesn't care for their dogs, but I'm sure I don't have to preach to the folks here about that. But other hunters, so we talked about this a little bit too, is like shooting low birds, but safe firearms and bow handling practices at all times, being aware of surroundings. I mean, how many hunting accidents happen every year just because somebody's shooting at something that they haven't identified clearly? Lord, don't be that person. I know you wouldn't want to live with yourself. I wouldn't if I shot somebody. So make sure you clearly identify your target.
Yeah, and my worst fear too is shooting a dog. So if the hunt just isn't going right, the birds are flying low, dogs are jumping high, I might not shoot all day because I just don't want to risk it.
People get excited in the moment a lot of times. That's why we're real cautious on who we hunt with our dogs. Because sometimes dogs get excited too. They jump up when the birds are flushing. They're running out. All of a sudden, a dog's here. It's a low bird. I've seen dogs get shot, and it's not a fun thing.
The other thing too is knowing who you're hunting with is that's an important point that you just mentioned. And listening to your guide.
Yes.
I see a lot of people get frustrated when the guide's like, "All right, this is your shooting space, your shooting space, your shooting space." And I have been on a couple hunts that people have made me so nervous. I have dropped to the ground
Yes.
because the gun swings right towards me,
Yes.
and I'm like, "Y'all, what are you doing?"
Yeah.
And there's a reason why your guide, if they're letting you shoot three across, there's a reason why your guide just told you what he told you.
Yep.
And
The
it's
things
okay
God see.
if you've not been out there a lot, it's fine to ask, well, why? Why can't and just
They're doing it for your safety and their
their
safety.
safety.
And the safety of the dogs and everyone else around you. The number of guides that have been shot over the
Oh,
years that I
man.
know, and I've been on one with a youth hunt where the young man swung and shot, and Luckily, it was just powder blast that caught him right across the face. Our guy that was with us, and he hit the ground immediately and scared the crap out of me because I thought, oh God, he's been shot.
Yep.
But he just, the powder was in his eyes, and but he had been shot before, and so
a lot
it
of
was,
them have.
yeah. So you know, and a lot of guys, when it gets unsafe, they're going to make you go sit down, and that's why they don't want to be shot.
Yep.
And they don't want their dog shot, and they don't want you shot. So we had a little information. It's like number 7.5 shot will travel at least 235 yards. That's 2.5 football fields almost. Think about when you're shooting how far that shot can travel, even just number 7s. Just be conscious. You throw a rifle or something in that's, you know, even further. So be aware of where you're aiming your gun. Make sure that there's some sort of backstop where that muzzle's pointing. Things happen, guns can go off, and you don't want to accidentally shoot yourself or something.
Well, especially when you're walking with me in the woods, because I will hit the ground and I will fall at least one time.
And that's why I like
those
break
roots
open
come
shotguns.
Up and get us. Yeah. No, I will not carry anything else out there because I will fall at some point.
Unloaded guns or a break open shotgun is the best, the safest thing. If you meet another hunter in the field, be courteous and polite. Either offer to hunt together or move off in opposite directions.
Yeah, ask. Don't be afraid to be like, hey, what field do you run in? Where are you hunting?
Right.
And come up with a plan together to avoid each other, especially with dogs. Like, you know, keep your dogs away from each other.
Yeah, it's hard to do sometimes. Dogs go where they want to go, especially someone who's running beagles or, you know, scent dogs. A little bit harder. But understand that and understand how that works. So if you're here and all of a sudden someone's dog comes running by, it's like the dog doesn't understand the courtesy and the rules. They're following their nose. Or, but that goes back to, again, to teaching folks about the hunting and how things work, especially if it's a species they haven't hunted before. They don't understand how things work. So teach them the ropes so that they can follow the rules correctly. They'll be safer. They'll be a more courteous hunter if you teach them. Not everybody has a dad, granddad, mom, uncle, sister, whoever that hunts.
That's right.
That's there to teach them. And so as non-traditional hunters and those who get into the field, we need to be making sure that we teach them these kind of unspoken, unwritten rules.
Well, and that's what I've loved about, you know, especially public land hunting quail, because, you know, you come... Most of the time, when you come across another quail hunter out in the woods, you chat for a little while. Yep. You might learn something. You might find a new hunting party, you know, to go on another hunt somewhere else. I mean, how many times you just casually start talking to someone and it opens up other opportunities or gives you ideas or you learn about new products. Like, that's what I love about the upland hunting community is that even though you keep your sites, your hunting locations tight, there's still a lot of sharing and camaraderie and community.
Right.
That just by being nice and talking about what you're doing out there, you just never know.
When the first times we went out to Arizona, you know, we had no clue what we were getting into. I mean, it's a little bit different. It's also a lot of really big country. You're talking about millions of acres of public land, you know, in big blocks. And so it all looks the same.
It sure does.
So from, you know, from our eyes, you know, there's not hedgerows or whatever to look for. Mm-mm. So you're trying to figure out, you know, and pattern the birds and figure out where they'll be. And you'll run into other hunters. And we had a guy who was a guide. We met him at a Dollar General, of all things. And we just come in from hunting. And he's like, go out hunting. And we got talking to him. He said, you have any luck? I said, not yet. I think we were a day and a half in. Still really hadn't had any luck. And so he was telling us he was a guide. So, well, are you available for a day? You know, because at least, you know, if you go with a guide, you can at least kind of get an idea how it works. Mm-hmm. He didn't have anything available. He says, but here, I'll send you a pen. Mm-hmm. And he sent me two pens, one for gambles and one for scaled quail. We did have luck at one of the points and kind of gave us an idea of what we needed to be doing and looking for. So he didn't have to do that because that was his, you know, his bread and butter was guiding people. It's like, I will never tell anybody where your spots are.
Yep.
And we had ran into some hunters who were coming out of an area as we were coming in. And they're like, yeah, we saw a big covey. You know, we're leaving. We're going home. So a couple of days ago, there was a big covey back over here and they told us where to go. So it's not a bad thing necessarily running into other folks. I can take that time and say, we share stuff when we can if we're heading out and like try to help someone because folks have done it for us. Goes into the harvesting. So the last thing is, and we kind of talked a little bit about this too, is those tailgate picks and the limits and stuff. But so when you're harvesting game, kind of some of the rules are only take a well-placed shot to avoid wounding an animal. I can't stand losing an animal, not being able to recover something.
Drives me nuts.
It happens
It
sometimes,
does.
but we try to not. So again, whether it's deer hunting, turkey hunting, whatever, if it's not a good shot, just don't take it. These far shots when bird hunting or whatever, you may wound the bird and not even realize it. I think James Martin has a new
Crippling.
crippling laws thing, and
They
we've
do.
talked about it in the past with James because I know on public lands, crippling losses I've always thought were a lot higher for quail than the 15%, and it's looking like it's a lot higher than 15%, 30, maybe even 40 in some areas. So let's limit those crippling losses by just being smart and not trying to be, well, I'm shooting all my birds with a 410. And I'm taking these huge shots that we know are not going to bring a bird down.
Yeah, it's actually little plug here. The Quail Forever podcast, Pheasants Forever podcast, On the Wing. It's called On the Wing. So if you look for it on all podcast platforms, Dr. Martin actually talks with Justin and Amanda Kramer, the researchers on the project, about how accurate of a wing shooter are you really, is kind of what they lead with. Talks about crippling loss of bobwhite quail hunters. So obviously, we don't have time here, but it's a fascinating 3-year study. And I was on one of those hunts where the telemetry was behind us. And he kind of told us later, we were like, so how many did we miss? And we were hunting with a great guide and great dogs, and missed a lot. And,
I know studies from the past years ago were like, even the best dogs will only really find 50% of the birds. So one, you're not great at finding what's out there in the first place, but then the shooting is sometimes folks are even worse. And some are worse than others. There was a study out of Texas where they looked at different shot and shotguns and things for crippling. And that was a very interesting study too that
I just feel really bad for the pine trees around here.
I have harvested some wood in the past. Now, I got a
Yep.
picture from last year of woodcock hunting where I took out a tree real well.
Yep.
But yeah, just avoid wounding animals. Watch your shot placement. Know the limitations of your firearm. Be mindful of that range. Practice. I mean, that's a big thing too, is people don't shoot the gun all year long until season starts and we go out, and some people shoot, oh, we're gonna go on this one hunt a year and they haven't pulled the gun out of the closet since the last year. And
Well, that's why I'm thankful for like some of our chapter events that
right.
we can throw some clays and at least get dialed in
Right.
a little bit. So take advantage of that.
Our states have some good
Oh,
shooting
excellent shooting ranges.
ranges. So there's shooting clubs and all sorts of things. And we, before dove season, we got out here in the backyard and threw skeet. And I know not everybody has that opportunity, but I needed to dust it off a little bit. I haven't shot doves in years, so I haven't shot a 12 gauge in probably even longer. I regretted that the next day, but
Oh, I bet.
so, but definitely practicing, knowing how to safely operate a gun. I'm used to using a break open side by side. If I use, I don't like using an automatic because I don't like feeding the shells in the gun. I just don't like them. A pump shotgun or whatever. There's different mechanisms. You need to be comfortable with it. Rifle, same way, whether it's automatic or, a single shot or whatever, you may be using, make sure you're familiar with that so that you're safe with it and knowing how to get the safety on and off. Make every effort to recover game. Some states have different rules on if your game crosses a property line on fair chase and recovery. So if it does cross a property line, the courteous thing to do is reach out to that landowner if you can. But do make every effort. And I think it's in law in Georgia that you have to make effort to recover game.
Yeah, and you've got, detect blood dogs now. A lot of people throwing up services for that. And then the drone
Drones.
technology is just fantastic. I I mean, we've had a ton of people that we know that have been able to recover deer through drones.
Yeah. And kind of the opposite of that is fair chase. So when you are going after animals, don't run a covey of quail into the ground to where they're not, I've seen somebody do this on a video.
This is the biggest pet peeve I think you and I probably have.
Yep. We flush them 50 times and they'll quit flying enough and we can shoot them.
Yeah, they'll be tired enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, did you really just say that?
Yeah. And then we've got the last bird is over here.
Yeah. Go hit every bird. And just don't be greedy. Mm-hmm. Fair chase.
Yeah. And we're specifically talking about wild birds here.
Yes.
So I think that's something, I don't know if you want to go there, but I will. There's a difference in what is acceptable when you're hunting wild birds versus pen release birds.
Right.
I don't care if you shoot every bird in the covey and the pen release birds because they're going to die quickly anyways.
Right. They're not going to survive.
Birds prey, whatever.
You're paying for them.
Yeah. They're not meant to survive out there.
They put them out there to shoot.
But wild birds, especially on our public lands where we don't have the luxury of, you know, all these extra practices, we are fighting hard for every wild bird that's on the landscape.
Right.
You know, and it should be, at this point, I look at it as a huge privilege every time I get to hunt wild birds. And it's a different kind of hunt.
It is.
You know, the way they fly, the way the dogs respond, just everything is completely different about the hunt. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize, especially when they're not from here and not familiar with that there is a difference between those two types of hunts.
Right.
Do not shoot every bird out of a covey because that's when you come back next year, you're going to wonder, oh, I didn't get any birds here this year.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder why. Go? You took them all out last year with you and all your buddies. So you,
For someone who's never quail hunted, I think sometimes they don't realize that quail aren't migratory. The covey that's there is the stock for the next year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They will travel a little bit, but they're not traveling long ways. It's not like a dove field and the birds leave and there may be some more that migrate in.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be more quail that migrate into the area.
Especially on our public land. Some of them don't have anything that's feeding in.
Right. And even with turkeys, even though they have they fly a lot better, they have a bigger range. But, you know, I know some folks who came in and they had, we have, you know, three gobblers and we shot three gobblers this year because that was their limit. And, well, there was a couple of them hunting. And next year, we don't have any turkeys. We don't have any gobblers this year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's another thing that also we take for granted, that we understand the ecology of these birds. We know how this works. We know why bag limits are the way they are and probably could be better, as you mentioned earlier. But that's another opportunity we need to take. It's like, yes, we could pursue more birds today, but we're not going to because, one, we're stressing the birds. We have stressed the dogs. That's the other thing a lot of people don't realize is that constant chase on the birds.
Right.
You're stressing them out. You're depleting their fitness, especially if you're going day after day after day.
Yeah.
And we hear constantly, you know, why is the WMA only open certain days of the week?
Right.
Well, that's why.
They're towards these birds wild flush too much. They've been pushed all the time. And so, they're running away from predators. And then because they're constantly running and not able to feed that they need to, then you have lower fitness. You have mortality that's not hunting or not directly hunting related.
Yeah. I think there's some good papers on that kind of recently too.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
You know, for deer, it's kind of funny. It's like people want to shoot all the small game and the turkeys that they possibly can. But for the life of me, cannot get them to shoot the number of deer they need to.
Oh, I know.
And it's like, you can shoot all the deer you want. Please shoot.
Yeah, especially in places, you know, you're overrun.
Yeah,
you're seeing browse lines.
We pulled into my dad's to go dove hunting, and there were 15 does standing in his perennial peanut field in the corner in the daylight.
Well, it sounds like you're not doing your job then. Oh, get out there.
Well, the neighbors too. He's like...
I'm sure he's got the permits.
Well, he hasn't, but, you know, he doesn't want to just leave them laying, and there's no processors, and he's not where he can process all these deer.
Yeah.
But he does shoot some, and come hunting season, he's like, okay, everybody has to shoot a whole bunch of deer this year. And You know, all the does that didn't get shot last year have twins, and
Oh my goodness. So many twins this
it
year.
was everywhere.
Yeah.
And so we try to shoot. I mean, we'll go and help folks shoot deer near and near and near. We fill our freezer. We give away what we can. And
Yep. Well, that also leads to some of the activities you and I are involved in, are these learn hunts. Like, that is a fantastic opportunity. There's lots of different groups that do learn hunts, and that kicks back to us talking about, dove hunting and kids and the next getting sharing hunting. That is a great opportunity when you have these deer numbers to, give those people a win and share hunting with them. Yep.
So there's some things, deer are kind of the oddity on that to me, for like, shoot your limit, please. For others, and depending on where you are, you just because the limit's 12 for quail or whatever it is wherever you are, doesn't mean you need to shoot 12. Again, like we said, it's Leopold said, just because you can doesn't
Doesn't
mean
mean
you
you should.
should.
Yep. And
So
the other thing too, adding to that, is that you kind of made the comment earlier about states not really doing the research that they could
on
be
certain
due to limited
species,
resources on certain species. And quail is definitely one of those species where, we're not asking hunters to drop cards as much anymore. Some states aren't doing their point counts anymore, and it boils down to not having the personnel to do it, or the volunteers aren't available anymore. And it is up to us as hunters to use our best judgment and know when to say when and protect that resource. If you're not seeing a lot
Understand
of
it.
birds, there's a reason, and
Yeah, then
we need
they'll
to
go
all
out and
work
shoot a bunch
together.
of them. I mean, take your dog out, flush some birds every now and then, and for the thrill of it. But you don't have to harvest the birds, and you don't have, definitely don't have to harvest a limit. But people ask, well, if we don't have that many birds, then why is, our limit 12, or whatever it may be in your area? And sometimes it's because it's a statewide regulation. There are areas in our state, like some of these private lands, these big plantations that have two birds per acre instead of a bird per 3 acres, like we have on some of our public lands, that they can harvest that many. They have the resource and they want to utilize it. So the limit is there for those areas that have that resource. So you can't go, okay, well, this property have this limit, but this one, and this one has this limit within the statewide regs. Now, we tried to do that sometimes where you'll see, a lot of the public lands, they're like, okay, the limit's now 3 per person instead of 12. And that's why that's done. But
And some of the days are closed.
some days are closed and stuff, but some states just, they don't go into the effort of reducing that down on public lands or, kind of teasing that out. It takes a lot of work to do that. And just understand that, again, just because that's what the limit is doesn't mean you have to harvest
Yeah,
them.
I will say though that most of the bird hunters that I'm around on a daily basis, that's not an issue. It's just we've got a handful out there that probably needs some friendly pressure from the rest of the community to just knock it off. And what stinks is that they're taking new hunters out and teaching them that that's
The bad
okay.
habits.
And then those new people, not really knowing, repeat
Yeah, what they
on
were
other
taught.
places. Yeah, and it just can't handle it. And then they complain about their hunt. And it's like, well,
Yeah, and then they wonder why an area gets closed or the birds aren't there in the next year or whatever it is. And just again, it's knowing what your game species, knowing some information about them, and knowing about that area. So again, don't be greedy, especially when it comes to harvesting small game on public lands. And to get more specific on that, I guess from a quail hunter standpoint, it's my pet peeves are, or my rule of thumb for myself is one bird per covey. When we flush a covey, I'm going to shoot a bird and walk away. Don't pick up the singles. If the dogs go out and point a single, we'll flush it for them. But I'm not going to go hunt down singles once the covey's been flushed, if we've shot a bird out of it. If the covey rises small, if it's a 8 bird covey, a 6 bird covey, I'm not going to shoot into that covey, because they've obviously already been pressured and they need a certain number of birds to survive through the season anyway. We don't want to, but public lands, usually if you'll come up and you flush a single bird, obviously that covey's already been flushed somewhere, so we're trying to reduce the pressure on those birds. We'll just kind of move on from that area. I've watched hunters decimate coveys They go to that same covey. Every time they're out there, they'll shoot birds. They'll shoot every bird they can. They'll shoot every bird they can. It starts at a 15-bird covey, and then by the end of the season, there's two birds or no birds left. So just, again, there's nothing left for you. There's nothing left from anyone else. And that's just rude for the species itself. I mean, come on. You're not the only person hunting on public lands. I don't care what you think. Oh, this is my little secret covey. I guarantee you somebody else has probably found that covey or will.
For sure. Yeah.
That's why on days when there's a lot of people around, I really kind of hate to shoot in areas where there's like little spots because, like, crap, they're going to know there's a covey.
That's right. Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of part of it.
Like, just, you need to whoa.
Right. I don't like hunting birds super early. I give them time to get off a roost, get able to move around and feed a little bit. Plus, it's, you know, once they're putting scent on the ground, it's a little bit easier to for the dogs to find them.
Well, that's the great thing about bird hunting, right? We don't have to get up at the crack of dawn all the time.
But I know people who are there at sunrise listening for them calling, and it's like, give them a minute.
Well, they have also moved significantly.
Right. It's amazing how much they will move.
Between those two times. Yeah.
And then in the evenings, give them time to get back together. Mm-hmm. So even though you can hunt till dark, don't. Especially on cold days.
Yeah, you want them to be able to get out into heat, and you want them to be able to stay away from the predators that start coming out at dusk. And, yep.
So we stop early. We don't go all the way to the end of shooting light and give those birds a chance to survive.
And the heat.
Yes.
Too. Hot days.
Oh, gosh. The middle of the day, rough on us. Snakes start moving.
That's right. Yep.
So if it's a hot day over certain temperatures, the first snake we see, like, okay, we're probably going to head back to the truck because it's just not worth it. Which I've seen snakes on, you know, 30-degree days too, but they're not going to be as active.
Yeah.
But on a hot day and they're rattling and moving, and I don't need to lose a dog. And we're all overheating, so it's not good on the dogs either. So take into consideration your quarry and there's just certain, I guess, courteous activities that you should be doing. So that's most of my rants and my pet peeves. Anything we've missed?
I think we have covered a quite wide.
Almost an hour's worth now.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. No, it's just stuff that's been on our mind with the season coming up.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think those listening probably know, but I take it for granted that we do, and every now and then I probably need to.
Yeah.
Look around and
there's a lot of new folks.
Bit.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And not trying to be Debbie Downer or anything, but I don't know. Just want everybody to have a safe and enjoyable experience in the woods and have the opportunity to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, not to draw this out, but you and I work very hard in conservation to keep these birds on the ground. And we've put blood, sweat, and tears in physically on a lot of these properties, whether it's on a tractor or burning or whatever. And it is just so hard to watch a WMA get annihilated, whatever species they're hunting. Because, I mean, we're on the forums. We're on the Facebook, and word travels.
Yes.
And it's just, it's hard. You know, when you have watched a technician meticulously prepare that dove field, and they are prouder, almost as proud as they are of their own kids, you know, and then to see it just get trashed, it's just hard to watch.
Yep.
So just that, from that aspect, keep in mind the people that are helping provide for this and that are protecting the resource.
Yeah.
You know, leave us with a touch of sanity. At this point, I'm not sure what I have left, but
Yep. So we'll leave it with that. We won't get any further. Everybody's probably at this point, anybody that's still listening,
right?
Was like, we're done. But
it isn't me.
Yeah. We'll rant on some more things here in the future. Touch on some other stuff. We appreciate you listening. And until next time, have a safe time in the woods. Thanks.